Welcome to Ancient Future Faith with Dr. Chris Alford, pastor of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community in Sacramento. Just what is ancient future Christian faith? Join Chris each week as he talks with special guests about a refreshing renewal in evangelical worship and spirituality that's helping many believers get in touch with their ancient Christian heritage. Now, with another look at how the road to the evangelical future runs through the ancient past, here's Dr. Chris Alford.
Well, hey, everybody, and I hope you're doing well in your lockdown, in your sheltering in place, and I'll bet you're looking for things to do and make and watch and listen to, and so I'm very glad that you've joined us today on Ancient Future Faith. My name is Chris Alford. I'm the host of the program, also the pastor of Epiclesis, an Ancient Future Faith church in Sacramento, California. We bring you guests each week to talk about Christian faith and what is this thing called Ancient Future Christian Faith, and today one of my very favorite guests is also a dear friend and colleague, Dr. Ellen Kohler. Hey, Ellen, and welcome. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you fine, Chris. This is the first time that I've ever done one of these with you by phone.
Yeah. What kind of, this is totally off the topic, but what kind of things are you doing as you're sheltering in place to keep yourself occupied?
Well, I'm doing music things on a regular basis, you might imagine, since I'm the pastor of worship and liturgy at Epiclesis. I've been spending a lot of time outside in the yard, though the weather's been particularly nice. That's taken up a lot of my time, actually.
There are so many things that you're good at, but the one we're going to focus on today is, well, I guess there'll be several, because some of these things overlap, don't they? Worship and liturgy and spirituality and discipleship and... One of the things I love about your ministry is that you do see those as overlapping and interconnected, yes?
Yes, I think they have to be, because the more that we worship, the more we want to know Christ, and then the way that we want to embrace Him and know Him better makes us want to extend that out into the world as we love and serve Him in our interactions with others.
Today we want to talk about Eastertide and the spirituality that is connected to Easter. Ellen, what in the world is Eastertide? It sounds like laundry detergent. What is that anyway?
Well, Eastertide is a distinct season. I think it's one of the least understood of the six seasons of the Christian year, perhaps maybe a little better understood than Pentecost, but we tend to think of Easter as being a one-day event, and it surely is the highest day of the Christian year, but we tend to think of it as the one day. I mean, it's almost like we've made it through Lent, and we get to Easter, we celebrate, and then it's off to enjoying springtime. Yeah. And we don't think of Eastertide in the way that the ancient church did and in the tradition, really, of the Christian year. So Easter is really a 50-day period of celebrating.
That's worth saying again, because that might be a brand new something-something for people to hear for the first time. So wait a minute, Easter isn't a day, but rather, tell us again.
It's a 50-day period, or a season of celebration. It begins with Resurrection Sunday, and it goes all the way through to the day of Pentecost.
Right.
And during Eastertide, this is a time when the church can take really focused time and energy, if we will embrace the opportunity to do so, to consider and contemplate the meaning and significance of the resurrection, not just for me and not just for the church, but for the whole of creation. Christ died to redeem all of creation, and we are invited in this 50-day period to think about how that works, how we might be formed more and more into His image, and as a church, into His body.
I was going to say, surely we need 50 days to get all that in, right? I mean, there's so much to consider. There's so much to unpack.
Yeah, there really is. And I was thinking about this in particular in connection to our coronavirus, you know, pandemic, shelter at home, stay home conditions, because for a lot of us, it just seems like the days are smushing together and the weeks are kind of smushing together. And we don't remember, like, is today Wednesday? Or wait a minute, was it 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago that thus and so happened?
Right.
Smushing is not really a theological or philosophical word.
Yeah, I know, but I like it. It's good.
I know, it works really well. It's like we just kind of tend to lose track. And if we aren't really intentional about thinking about what Eastertide means in our lives, lives as Christians and as the church, then we will lose that opportunity.
You're listening to an interview with Dr. Ellen Kohler. She's my buddy and my colleague. She's our pastor for worship and liturgy at Epiclesis, an ancient future faith Christian church in Sacramento, California. And just before the break there, Ellen, you were talking about how critical it is for Christians to mark their time in a careful way. If we're not careful, then we might start marking time according to, well, I don't know, the business hours of our favorite essential store that we need to go and get something, or maybe the television schedule. But Christians really need to be careful about marking their time in a Christian sort of way. And the Christian year does that for us.
Yep, it does. That's what the early disciples did. And in the ancient church, Eastertide developed very quickly into a season where Christians thought about how we can follow in the footsteps of those who went before us, like participate in their training. And so Eastertide becomes for us, if we let it, what it was for those first disciples in that 40-day period from resurrection to the ascension of the Lord. It was a time of teaching. What they will need to know and become going forward, they were trained in their ministry, and it was a time of preparation for the coming of the Holy Spirit.
Well, that's a lot to chew on, so let's break it down if we can. Mm-hmm. I know that our church provides some tools year to year, based upon the scriptures that we're going to be looking at on a Sunday morning in a devotional discipleship kind of format, a booklet, as it were, that breaks down each of the Sundays or weeks, if you want to think of it that way, in Eastertide. And we've done that this year with a publication called With Burning Hearts, Encounters with the Living Christ. And by the way, folks, if you're hearing this broadcast or podcast and you would like to get a copy of that, it's absolutely free. Just zip over to the Epiclesis website, epiclesis.org, and down at the bottom of the page, you'll see a story about this devotional booklet called With Burning Hearts. Ellen, where does that name come from, and what does Eastertide spirituality attempt to do?
Well, the title, With Burning Hearts, actually is taken from the Road to Emmaus story that's in Luke 24.
Yeah.
Many of our listeners will remember that there were two of the disciples who were going from Jerusalem back to their home in Emmaus, walking along quite downhearted, really, and discussing the things that had happened. Christ had been crucified, and now some of their number were saying he's risen, and suddenly Christ appears with them. And he walks with them, he teaches them, he opens the scriptures to them, and then they invite him into their home. They eat together, and then he breaks bread at table. And they say, while we were talking, weren't our hearts burning within us as he was opening the scriptures to us? And then after they recognize him, which they hadn't done up until that point, at table, then he disappears from their sight. And then they immediately go tearing back to Jerusalem to tell the other disciples that the Lord has appeared to them and that he is risen indeed.
I think folks sometimes forget that all of that takes place on Resurrection Sunday. Resurrection Sunday, the first one, was just absolutely packed. So from what you're saying there in that story, one of the things we're trying to do is press some points for people to consider during this Eastertide, especially in and around and related to the story of the travelers to Emmaus, that Jesus is standing among us in his resurrection power. Amen. And
Amen.
That he would give us eyes to see him. But alas, we are often slow to see him, maybe especially in times of difficulty like this. But that Jesus reveals himself to us, that his word is authoritative, that one of the most ultimate experiences we can have with him until we see him again in glory is to participate with him at table where we are remembering the body of Christ. What other things this year particularly strike you about this approach that we're taking?
Well, one of the things that really has burned in my heart, if I could say it that way, during these first, we're about to come up on the fourth week of Easter, but in these past 3 weeks, it's really become more and more evident that an encounter with Jesus does burn in our hearts, and it compels us to, as the early disciples did, every one of these encounters, they felt compelled to go out into the world to say something, to do something, to bear testimony, and to bear witness. And it's difficult for us in our homes to find ways to do that, I think. But one thing that is really cool is that we have some technology that's helping us to reach out in new ways and forcing us to be more creative, I think, in the ways that we go about telling our story and the way that Christ has called us to join into his story. And how might we better serve one another? How can we, even at 6 feet of distance, how can we best serve our neighbors or share the love of Christ with others?
Before this whole corona thing, I don't believe we would have considered these things in these particular ways with regard to technology. And let me put it this way. It at least gives us an opportunity to consider how we are, what, the church, even when we're scattered? Well, yes, we still are the church, even scattered. We're still the body of Christ. He's still our head. And how is it that we're going to, quote, go forth into the world to love and serve him because of our encounters with him? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We have a lot of opportunities to interact with people that we might not see the highlight or the spotlights that the Lord wants to shine in the ways that he does, except for these circumstances, because we are forced really to see things in a new way. It's like, well, the second Sunday of Easter is traditionally St. Thomas Sunday because the gospel reading in John always includes that narrative of Jesus' appearance to the assembled disciples in the upper room.
Right.
On Resurrection Sunday evening, Thomas wasn't with them.
That's right.
So he didn't get to see that first appearance. And he says, nope, I'm not going to believe it unless I see the nailed holes and I put my hand into his side. I won't believe it. And he was forced to see something in a new way. And when it came to the point, what could Thomas do other than to fall on his face and say, my Lord and my God? And I think we often don't see Christ's power amongst us or his instructions to us because he comes in a way that we don't expect. It's like Mary on resurrection morning.
Yes, yes. The same thing was going through my head. Yes.
And so we have these other Sundays throughout the Easter season, and every one of the liturgical years, A, B, and C, we're in year A this year in 2020. Each one of these Sundays has a particular theme associated with it, and it gives us an opportunity to look at the ways in which we're really formed as worshiping Christians and then as members of the church to be his body in the world.
You know, it occurs to me that especially when we are in a kind of forced separation mode, it's especially tender and good, I think, for the church to be on the same page when it comes to, well, not only scripture and the stories that we're reading, but also things to think about and consider and themes to ponder. And as we are considering that together, there's Holy Spirit energy there, isn't there, Ellen? At least I think so.
Well, there absolutely is. I mean, just imagine on the third Sunday of Eastertide, that day is devoted to the theme of worship, in particular worship of the risen Christ. In this year, that Emmaus Road story is brought to the fore in the lectionary.
Yeah.
Other years, it's revelation scenes of worship. But if you imagine that there are churches all over the world on that same Sunday that are focusing on the theme of worship, and in these conditions, that's exciting. There's energy there. It's Holy Spirit energy, as you just mentioned.
Each of the Sundays that Ellen is talking about, folks, are Sundays that have themes associated with them. And again, if you'd like to have a copy of that, it's absolutely free. Go to the Epiclesis website. And if you scroll down to the bottom of the front page, you'll see there this with burning hearts. You mentioned the third Sunday of Easter, which was this last one, which featured the story of the travelers on the road to Emmaus. We had a very special guest in our Zoom worship meeting last Sunday, didn't we?
We did. And wasn't that just an exciting and a creative way to share not only with the members and extended family of Epiclesis, but anybody who wants to have a look at our services on the Epiclesis Facebook page can actually go there and see them as well.
That's true. Yeah. Tell everybody who our guest was last Sunday.
One of our founding elders is so creative. He's been involved in theater for, I think, for decades.
Yeah.
He wrote a wonderful interpretive narrative in the persona of Cleopas, one of those two disciples on the road to Emmaus. And he tells the story from the perspective of Cleopas. And it brings to life so many of the details of what that might have been like and for how it might have felt. So dejected. And then suddenly the whole world turns right side up again.
It was a lot of fun, and I'll bet it shocked folks for all of a sudden there to be someone in biblical clothing show up in a Zoom meeting, but it was really a lot of fun to do. So there are several Sundays in Easter, six, and then something special comes along, mm-hmm. and that is the Ascension. We should probably talk about these special days or feast days that come toward the end of Eastertide here in just a second. But first, let me remind folks that they're listening to an interview with Dr. Ellen Kohler. She's our pastor for worship and liturgy at Epiclesis, an ancient future faith Christian church in Sacramento, California. My name's Chris Alford. I'm the pastor. And today we're talking about Eastertide, the season of celebration after the resurrection that lasts 50 days, all the way up to some other special days in the life of the church, Ellen. And again, these are days that, well, maybe some denominations or church traditions don't pay a lot of attention to, but they're critical, right?
They absolutely are. The seventh Sunday of Easter, we celebrate and commemorate the ascension of the Lord. That actually occurred on a Thursday. It was the 40th day after Easter.
Yes.
And so that Sunday after that 40th day, Christians traditionally commemorate the ascension of the Lord. That moment when Christ, having completed his saving work on earth, ascended in bodily form into heaven, where he now sits at the right hand of the Father.
Which is absolutely critical theology. And if folks don't know a lot about it, they need to emphasize it in their churches because it opens up a whole wonderful world of theological truths that maybe folks hadn't thought of before.
It's central to our faith, as you've said. It manifests Christ's sovereignty. It shows in this arresting visual display that Jesus, at once fully God and fully human, which is still hard with our human minds, we don't get that.
Right.
But yet it's the mystery, and we accept it by faith, and then we participate in it. But there he is, at once fully God and fully human, present now with the Father, and it fills us with hope and assurance.
Yeah. The Sunday after Ascension Sunday is also a very, very important day in the life of the church, and that is Pentecost Sunday, the day of Pentecost. And so that's kind of a wonderful, what would you say, crescendo and dazzling firework display end to the season of Eastertide. What are some of the things we're thinking about with regard to spirituality when we think about Pentecost?
Well, it's the day that we often think of as the birthday of the church.
Mm-hmm.
It's the ancient feast day. But for us, for Pentecost Sunday, we commemorate the coming of the Holy Spirit upon the gathered disciples in the upper room. Remember that Jesus, just before his ascension into heaven in his glorified body, directed his followers to go to Jerusalem and wait there because he would send upon them the promise from the Father.
Mm-hmm.
And that they would be clothed with power from on high when the Holy Spirit would come on them. And then they would be Christ's witnesses to the ends of the earth. So as we worship on Pentecost Sunday, we are mindful that Pentecost symbolizes new beginnings filled with promise and hope and comfort and power. So it's a wonderful way and crescendo, as you say, to end the season of Eastertide.
One thing that just always amazes me, and I'm reminded of it especially on Pentecost Sunday and then the following Sunday, which we'll touch on in just a moment, Trinity Sunday, is that, as one of my favorite authors, Thomas Oden, has said, the Holy Spirit has a history. And Ellen, just to imagine that the same Holy Spirit that descended in power on that day and changed the world is the same Holy Spirit we have right now. He is among us. He is connecting us, as I've said to our church during the COVID thing, that the Holy Spirit has been in the connecting business long before there was Zoom or Skype or Facebook. And it just absolutely knocks me flat to think about our precious Holy Spirit being so critical a part of our Christian spirituality and life.
Oh, I agree. It reminds me, too, of another one of the lections that we look at during Eastertide is several passages from Jesus' farewell discourse in John 14 through mm-hmm. 16. And there you remember that Jesus says, I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Mm. And that comes in that whole context of when he's talking about sending the Holy Spirit as comforter to teach us and to guide us and to advocate for us.
It's a promise.
He is a promise.
Yes, yes, indeed. Though not technically part of Eastertide, the Sunday after Pentecost Sunday is Trinity Sunday. And again, Ellen, not necessarily a tradition that I grew up in, but so critical. Surely we can spend one Sunday a year focusing on the mystery and the truth of the Holy Trinity.
I know, and it's such a wonderful way that ends Eastertide with Ascension Sunday and then Pentecost Sunday and then the first Sunday after Pentecost when we go into this long season of what it means to be the church and living that out. We first focus on Trinity Sunday when we focus on the mystery, power, and beauty of the triune God.
Ellen, in our remaining moments, could you just recap a bit or sum up what it is that you, as a pastor of worship and liturgy, want people to grab a hold of when it comes to Eastertide? What should we be considering? How should we be praying, especially during these circumstances and during Eastertide?
For me as a pastor, I would just love for people to take the opportunity to walk through these Sundays of Easter in a very intentional way.
Yeah.
Very similarly to the ways that we walk through Advent, very similarly to the ways that we walk through Lent, and then walking with the disciples as they're learning from the resurrected Lord what he has to tell them. These are the last 40 days they're present with them. He will be teaching them, and I would have loved to have heard all of those teachings.
So it sounds like to me, Ellen, that, look, We've all got plenty of time on our hands, right?
Yes.
Here we are hunkered down for who knows how long. What an amazing opportunity, Christians, for you to get a hold of some things that will enhance your discipleship and your faith and your Christian spirituality that you might not have considered before. Here we are, right smack dab in the middle of Eastertide, and we have this wonderful free resource for you. It's a simple devotional book that talks about what in the world is Easter, what in the world is Pentecost, what in the world is Ascension Sunday, etc., and gives you some scripture to meditate on and think about, some ideas to consider, and let's do this together, and let's allow God's Holy Spirit to connect us in this special way, believers, as we are, though separated, still the body of Christ, and carefully considering what it means that the Lord Jesus Christ defeated death and rose from the grave and ascended and even now is at the right hand of the Father. Anything else, Pastor Ellen?
I just would encourage our listeners to embark on a journey that they may not have thought about taking before, and at the same time to share the resource that we've been talking about with others.
Folks, I would love to be able to have this conversation with you in person. One day, we're going to be able to worship together again, and I'd like for you to carefully consider worshiping with us at Epiclesis. It's life-changing, and the worship that we experience that's so wonderfully and artfully crafted by Dr. Ellen Kohler is a beautiful thing to be a part of. We'd love to have you join us. Dr. Ellen, thanks so much for joining me today on Ancient Future Faith, and have fun out there in the yard working on the plants.
It's always a joy to be with you, virtually, if not in the studio, and wonderful to talk about these things we love so much.
Folks, until we gather again for another episode of Ancient Future Faith, I want you to think about this, please. Surely, the road to our evangelical future does run through our ancient Christian past. Until next time, the Lord be with you.
Thank you for joining us for another look at Ancient Future Faith. There is a refreshing wind of renewal blowing through the evangelical church as more and more worshipers turn for inspiration to the rich language and pattern of the ancient church, and they're rediscovering classic Christianity and learning to draw strength from a deep well of time-tested truth and tradition. Want to experience Ancient Future Faith for yourself? Join us for worship at Epiclesis in Sacramento on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. in the chapel at 4600 Winding Way. You can contact us by calling 916-572-9113 or online at epiclesis.org. That's 916-572-9113 or on the web at epiclesis.org.
Hi there, friends. This is Pastor Chris. One more word, please, before you go. Wanted to let you know that during this difficult time of the COVID-19 virus, we are not gathering at Epiclesis in body, but we are virtually in body because we share the same head, Jesus Christ. So if you're interested in hearing more about our virtual worship services or special small groups or prayer services, please check out epiclesis.org. That's E-P-I-C-L-E-S-I-S.org. Stay safe and the Lord be with you.